Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We've been talking about, as we prepare ourselves, getting ready for Advent, as we kind of move into that, we're talking about the central core of our church. What does it mean? And asking that question, who is Jesus, really? If you look at how Jesus has changed the way our whole world, our lives, and everything about it, but really, who is this man, and what has he done to change our lives in such a fundamental way? Last week, we talked about how Jesus has gone through the same things that we've gone through. He was a working guy. He was a carpenter. He lived and he struggled with family dynamics. He dealt with irritating and sometimes difficult people. He struggled with his disciples to help communicate to them who he was about. And at the very end, he ended up having his life rejected. So he knows the things that we go through. Jesus was, in many respects, fully human. He knew the struggles that we're going through, and so we can trust him to come away and say, Jesus understood what we're going through. But Jesus changed the world as we know it. His writings, I looked up this week, his writings have been translated into over 2,700 different languages. Do you know the other book that has been translated more times in other languages? Don Quixote is the second book that has been translated into a lot of different languages, and it has been translated into only 60. His words and his writings have changed and have written more books about what he said in the short period of time that he was on earth than anybody else in human history. There are more books about what he said, there are more commentaries trying to decipher what it meant than in all of human history. More governments have been formed over what he said. More wars have been fought over people wrestling to understand what he meant. There are more colleges and universities that have sprung up based on his teaching. And so when we come together, one of the things that we have to understand or that we grasp about who Jesus is we have to understand at a fundamental level, Jesus was a great teacher. More people struggle to understand what he meant in the short period of time. As many of you have grown over the years, there was somebody in your life who mentored you or who taught you some principles about life, about what life was all about, that gave you certain values that you cherish and they guide your life today. What made Jesus so unique that people today still remember and still revere what he said, that Sunday after Sunday we come in order to wrestle with what did that really mean, and what did he come to reveal? You see, Jesus didn't come to just give us information, to say, here it is, this is what it's all about, go and take hold of it. Jesus came to challenge us at a very deep level about what is the meaning of life? Why are you here? What is its purpose? He came to teach us things about morality, about ethics, about society. How do we deal with other people around us? Why do people behave the way that they do? What is our destiny? Where are we going? Why is our society functioning the way that it does? Why is there this longing within all of us to continue to grow and to continue to challenge ourselves? Where does that come from? Why do sometimes people do evil? Why is it that we suffer? And why is it that when we suffer, that we long for somebody to come and help us understand? Jesus came and he taught us all about that. And so when we gather this morning, we're opening up his words and we're trying to wrestle with what did Jesus come to teach us and do we understand it? Are we willing to embrace what he came to give us? Throughout history, Jesus, whenever he went and he taught, you find crowds that were gathering. Now, these are people in the Palestinian area in Judea that were struggling to make ends meet. They didn't have time to go to concerts. They didn't have time to great meetings or great coliseums. These are people that are trying to make ends meet, and yet you would have 4,000 people that would come to hear him preach and teach them. And whenever they would go, there would be 5,000 along with their wives and children. And they would come, and whenever they would hear him teach, there were two things that they kept saying about what Jesus had to say. Every time he spoke, they said people were amazed. They were shocked. They were stunned by what he said because he taught as one with authority. He spoke the words of God as if he was speaking from God to them, that God had a word that he wanted to get, and Jesus was giving it to them, and they said, here is a man who is coming with the power and authority. And so this morning we want to look at what does that mean. We want to open up our God's word this morning, and we want to look especially at a passage that I want to share this morning from Matthew chapter 13. Allow this to be a part of our growth time together. Would you join with me as we share and open up our hearts to God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. So Jesus sat down with those that were listening, much the same as we are this morning. And he said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we have come this morning that your words would teach us again. Help us to be responsive. Help us to be ready to hear your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout Scripture, Jesus has a unique ability to take very complex life situations and boil them down almost into a pictorial image for us to grasp so that the people could understand what he was saying. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, if you hear something that is true, something that you believe deep down in your soul, then a wise person puts it into practice. It does no good to hear it, but live a different way. He said a wise man or a wise person is somebody that knows the truth, has beliefs and values that are consistent with those beliefs, but then puts them into practice, learns how to practice them on a day-to-day basis. That's a wise person, because we all know that throughout life we're going to be challenged. We know from life's experience that the winds come, the rains fall, and the rivers rise. Those situations will come to test what we believe to be true. Those are the situations we all go through. He also says that a foolish person is somebody that hears these words but does not, that hears what is true, what is valuable, but goes off and does pretty much whatever they want to do. When the rains come and the winds blow and the river rises, their house, their meaning, their lives will fall apart. They will collapse because they are built on shifting sand. We grasp Jesus's teaching. And when we hear that kind of teaching, people at that time, just like all of us, they were amazed because he taught as somebody with authority. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 1. The people were all amazed, and they ask each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. Jesus comes to teach us with authority. He comes to say, this is the word of God. This is how life works. This is how society works. This is how people come together. This is what you were wired to do. Imagine for a moment that you had been given a brand new car, but you'd never seen a car before. You don't know how it works. You have to understand that a car is designed to run on gasoline with oil in the engine, right? You've got to have that. If you put anything else in that engine, if you put water in that engine, if you put kerosene, if you put lard in that engine, whatever it is, it won't function correctly. What Jesus is doing is he's coming and saying, I'm going to tell you how the vehicle called a human being is designed to work. You can try it on other things, but it's going to collapse at some point. This is what life is all about. And the people were amazed because he taught as one with authority. In Mark chapter 6, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? People were shocked by what he was teaching them, by the things that he was sharing. When we gather on Sunday or throughout the week, are we amazed by the words that we have before us? We still have his words. We still are given to them. Do we have that same amazement? Do we still have that same sense of authority? This is what life is all about right here. It's still as powerful today as it was then. You see, I think for all of us, though, we live in a tension. There is a tension that is going on within your mind even as you sit here this morning. There's a tug of war that is going on, and you have to decide how it's going to play out for you. You see, there's a part of your brain that we call the ego. It's your human self that says, by what I have, I can achieve all things. By my hands, my gifts, my looks, my power, my strength, whatever it is, whatever you have, I can do it myself. There is a part of you that wants to rise up and says, hey, everybody, look at me. A part of you, your ego mind, is saying, once I have everything in its place, once I achieve everything that I believe I need to achieve, I will have peace in my life. I will arrive at where I need to be. But Jesus turns that around completely on its head, and that's why it is so challenging for us. Jesus said, once you find peace, once you find the purpose for your life, everything else will fall into place. Find the reason that you're doing everything. Find the reason for where you're going, the destiny for which you have been called, and everything will fall into its proper place. But we, in our logical mind or in our consumer mentality, in our culture, say if you can do all things, if you own all things and you can control all things, then you will also own and control your purpose and destiny. Jesus said, it'll never work. It never will function that way. And so he comes and he teaches. He comes and he sits before people and he said, this is what it's really like. He doesn't say, this is what has worked for me. He doesn't say, this is how it worked in my family. This is my Jewish tradition. He's saying, this is the human race. This is how God created it. And so as we look at Jesus' teaching, there's a couple of things that we can understand about him as a great teacher. The first thing that I want us to understand is that Jesus did two things simultaneously. One, he both inspired and he irritated his students. People that listened to Jesus fell into those two categories, either the ego mind or the spiritual mind. Which of those two are you feeding in your life? Jesus both inspired people. This is what life could be like. He went to them and he said, imagine that there is a man on a journey and he falls into the hands of robbers and circumstances overtake him. And as he's lying there bleeding and almost dead, a number of people come by and some are in a hurry. They've got things to do. They've got shopping to take care of. They've got to take the car to get the oil changed. They've got to go to work. They've got a meeting they've got to get to. They just don't have time to stop and help. But a Samaritan, the local drug dealer, he comes by and he sees this guy and he says, I can help and I should help. And compassion comes out in him and he helps out. People were inspired. Some people were saying, that's what it's all about. But on the same token, there were people that were outraged. They were irritated that he challenged them so deeply. In Mark chapter 11, the chief priests and the teacher of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Jesus inspired some, and that will irritate the bejeebers out of others. The challenge that we always have to do is Jesus challenging us? Is he inspiring us? One of our core values as a church is we should be lifting people up. We should help them to see a bigger and a brighter future. We should take them from complacency to courage, to something that begins to help motivate them to change. Does Jesus' teaching challenge you? Or do you like to take the parts that you like, the parts that seem reasonable to you, and we hold on to that? I like what St. Augustine once said. He said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject the parts that you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe in, but yourself. Do you love to take the gospel and say, well, I'm sure that doesn't apply to me? I know that when Jesus said, you know, give and it will be given to you, I know that he didn't mean me in my circumstance. I know that's not for us. I know that when Jesus talked about, you know, if your neighbor needs a coat, that you give him your cloak as well, I know that he wasn't talking about me, he was talking about other people. Sometimes we love to take the parts that Jesus said and we like to carve them out and say, I love the parts that he says about grace and forgiveness, but I really don't like the parts that he talks about the challenge. And that, you remember that one part that he talked about, pick up your cross and follow me? Yeah, I've kind of cut that one out of my Bible. I don't need that part. Jesus simultaneously will inspire you and irritate you at the same time. That's the mark of a great teacher. At the same time, Jesus both taught with grace and with truth. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew makes it very clear, the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, the law, the Torah, came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth is a balance. Grace is the ability that you can do this. But if we only teach grace without truth, there's a sense of hypocrisy. Grace basically says you can do whatever that you want to do, but truth says this is the path that you're on. If you give only grace without truth, you're speaking about hypocrisy. But if you talk about truth without grace, without the ability or the strength to pick up your pieces and move on, truth without grace is brutality. And so Jesus comes to offer both. He lives between the tension of God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's grace, but also the truth and the purity and the holiness of God. He bridges that gap for us. He challenges us to live holy, perfect lives. It's in John's gospel that Jesus says, be what? Be perfect. Not be close enough. Be whatever you have designed yourself to be. Be whatever the society says that you can be. Be all that you can be. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father. That's our goal. Well, who can measure up with that? But with the grace of Christ, we pursue perfection. It was John Wesley, our founder, that once said, we are all on the road to perfection. We are all on that journey. We are always consistently challenged to step up and to do more. We're never done. We can never say, I have completed the journey that God has given to us. We are taught with grace and truth. Do you remember the story of the woman that they brought to Jesus that was caught in adultery? When they kept on questioning him about what should we do with this woman, remember, because after all, the Torah said, this is what we're supposed to do. We're focused on the brutality side. He straightened up and he said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. What we find is that when all of us have a truth, we often want to use that truth as a weapon. Whenever you found a scapegoat, somebody to blame for your lot in life, as soon as you have that scapegoat, you have stopped growing because you no longer become self-reflective. Jesus refuses to allow us to do that. He refuses to allow us to step back and say, they're the problem with the world. He always reflects it back to us. Jesus comes to us with both grace and truth. Grace is the forgiveness of Christ, but the truth is the journey that we have set our feet on. Jesus was a master teacher because he brought that home in a very powerful way. Finally, we also understand that Jesus, and this is the part that usually kills us, Jesus was painfully practical and personal. Jesus was painfully practical and personal. Jesus didn't go in for the great theology. He didn't go in to explain how the heavens worked and about how grace will infuse us and change us from the inside. What he did is modeled it after very practical stories. He would often tell stories about what is grace really like. He said, well, imagine a woman lost a coin and she swept her whole house to find that one coin. And she rejoiced when she found that. Or imagine a farmer had 100 sheep and one drifted away. He would leave all of those just to find the one and was so overjoyed. Or he brought it home with the prodigal son. And we understood his theology through his practical stories, but they were intensely practical. What about the story that Jesus often told in Matthew 22? Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. And when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Jesus is talking about all that we have. And if we were to gather this morning and we were to talk about stewardship, then Jesus said, just give back to God what is his and give to the government what belongs to them. How many of us could say, oh, that's easy to do? Yet it was intensely personal and it was intensely practical. Jesus would come and said, what is it that has been given to you? He would challenge us about how we interacted with one another. Do you remember the story from Luke chapter 6? If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And we're shocked, and we're amazed. How do we live like that? How do we engage like that? How do we live out that vision? You see, Jesus didn't come to just say, hey, I'm okay and you're okay. He said, life has got to change for us. Fundamentally, he made it intensely personal and intensely practical. That's why at the end in our story this morning in Matthew 13, Jesus said, are you the wise person that are going to hear these words and you're going to put them into practice? So that whenever tough times come and whenever you're living on the edge or you have problems about the uncertainty of life, about medical issues or about relationships or about the future, is your life, is your whole being just going to collapse? Or are you going to be the person that builds it on a foundation of wisdom and of truth? This is how life works. Jesus comes to us to offer us all of these things. But here's the bottom line, and this is the part that I want to leave you with. There's no doubt, or at least hopefully throughout this time, there is no doubt in your mind that Jesus was a master teacher. He took life's central ideas about what life is really like, and he boiled them down, and he said, this is what life is all about. Now, here's the thing. If I could tell you next Sunday morning, Jesus is going to be here to teach us again. He's going to come, and he's going to come and share some bit of wisdom about life, about relationships, and about how to find joy and purpose in your life. Would you be here? If Jesus were to show up here next Sunday and share a bit of God's power and God's message into your life about how we should form a society together, how we can live without conflict and without bitterness, would you bring somebody with you? If you knew that Jesus was going to be here to teach, would you be amazed at his authority and the power of his words? What would you cancel? Is there anything that you would cancel in order to be at Jesus' feet? Is there anything that you would give up? Is there anything that you would sacrifice? Is there anything that you would put off in order to sit at his feet and to listen to the words that he was teaching? Can you think of anything that you would give up? Or are we kind of like those foolish people? You know, we hear the words, but we're not really that amazed. You see, the true disciples sat at his feet and they listened and they learned and they struggled with what he had to do. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. My word, my authority, my power, and my message is still as relevant in our day and age, in our lives, in our relationships as they were 2,000 years ago. Because we're still the same human mechanism. We're still the same human spirit that was designed to run only on God's energy. So when Jesus comes and opens up the word, they're his words, not mine. Maybe I try and add a little color to try and keep you awake for 20 minutes. But people followed him. Thousands of people followed him because he had power and he had authority. And so the question is not so much what has changed about Jesus' message, but what has changed about us? Do we really care anymore about the meaning of life, the purpose? But you're here this morning, so I know that you're hungry for it and you want to go out and share it. And each week we share, these are the words that Jesus shared about life and about purpose and about meaning. But I have a lot of people that will come and they'll say, but I don't know how to get started. How do I get started to understand what Jesus is talking about? I open up the Bible and I don't understand it. The language is so convoluted, I can't quite grasp it. I want to give you one practical and personal thing that you can do. It's called a Message Bible. It's in contemporary language. It's a great place to get started, to just open it up and start reading. The more you start, the more you give yourself to it, the more it will give back into your life. You can get started. If you appreciate the teachings of this master teacher who has survived over the ages, who have more books about the things that he said and what they meant and how they impact us than anybody else in human history, then you've got to get started. Because it's important for your life and for your future. I want to end with this passage. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus asked his disciples that were there. He asked them, "Don't you have any faith?" But they were frightened and amazed. They said to each other, "Who is this?" We gather this morning to answer that question for you, to put that in the back of your mind. Who is this? He's gone through the things that we've gone through. He understands our lives. He understands the struggles that we have. And he has come and said, "Here are the answers from God. This is what God had said. This is what life is all about." If you want to become a disciple, if you want to mimic and reflect his grace and truth, you have to understand the things that he said. You have to be willing to engage in all of the things that he's offered to us. This morning, we're going to have another opportunity. If you kind of feel like, man, I just haven't really stepped up to the plate the way I'm supposed to. I haven't really been the disciple I promised to be. I've been somebody that's kind of taken it or leave it. This is a great opportunity to re-engage, take up that challenge, and say, "Jesus, help me to step up again. I'm going to commit to opening up God's word, read it a little bit every day, allow his truth to amaze you and to empower you." This morning as we gather, allow that strength to flow into you. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning as your disciples to hear your words, to be challenged and amazed, but also to be transformed. We ask a blessing on our time of communion, that you would allow your word and your spirit, your bread and your body to come into our lives, to change us forever. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.